Going away to college can be a pretty lonely experience. Friendly physical spaces can be especially hard to come by on American college campuses for Indigenous students.
Institutions of higher education are complicit in colonialism, and they have a really bad relationship with Indigenous community members.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. This summer, community members at Grand Valley State University came together to create a space of their own, the Three Fires Teaching Lodge. It's the first lodge in Michigan to be built on public university land. Cameron Stott is a student at GVSU, and he's also an Indigenous chef. He's from the Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawa Indians. Dr. Andrea Riley Mukovets is an assistant professor in the Integrative Religious and Intercultural Studies Department at GVSU. She's an enrolled citizen of the Chippewa Thames Band, and she helped to lead the project to construct the lodge. Today we're going to talk to both of them about making the Three Fires Lodge. They both feel a deep significance to having this space for students on colonized land. The idea for the lodge was born in a class that Andrea teaches.
So this is a class that was made of both Native and non-Native students. And one of the questions that I ask them throughout the semester is, how do you do decolonial work and make Indigenous space while being a part of an institution? And so I wanted students to practice critical reflection, to think about how they could understand their own relationship to higher ed, their connection to receiving a degree, and how they could also be committed to the survival and cultures of Indigenous people.
This is such a big topic in Michigan's institutes of higher learning right now. I'm especially thinking of land-grant universities and even places like the University of Michigan, where we're broadcasting from today, which wasn't technically a land-grant school, but did benefit from land-grants at some points. Andrea, is this topic fairly new in terms of your teaching, or something that you've been addressing for a while?
I explore this since the very beginning of my teaching career in like 2006. And I'm so grateful that we can have this conversation on Stateside to make these conversations more visible to the public. Because in academia and in tribal communities, you know, this is an ongoing discussion around how to make Indigenous people more visible. And also, how can we understand the long history of settler colonialism on Turtle Island? And with students entering different parts of the workforce, one of my goals is to help them understand that whether they're Native or non-Native, you know, to understand that Indigenous people are still thriving, we're still engaging in survival and resistance practices, and that there are ways for us to form coalitions alongside different kinds of identity groups. And then also working at a place like GVSU, where there is a substantial amount of Indigenous students, I believe it's my responsibility as an Anishinaabe Kwe professor to also make space where Indigenous students can be their whole selves in their classrooms and understand how to carry that into other components of their lives.
Cam, tell us about the point at which you got involved in this project. What appealed to you about the idea of creating a new space?
Well, it kind of started out as me taking Andrea's class, and I was just so interested to learn the history of my roots. And Andrea had invited me to come out and help out during the first day of the lodge. And obviously, I was really interested in it. I've never experienced a building of a lodge before, so it was a very interesting experience.
Yeah. Well, the question of creating a space that is appropriate and safe and just feels like a space for community, is that something that had come up for you in your time taking classes?
Yeah, definitely. Like Andrea had said, academia is rooted in colonialism. And it's hard as an Indigenous person to be in a space that is culturally safe. And so I really understand that being a student, that like we don't really have a lot of platforms to celebrate our culture and our rich history. And the lodge is a really, really great way of incorporating, you know, those teachings in that culture.
Andrea, it wasn't just students who were working on the lodge. Tell us a little bit about who came together to make the space happen.
Oh, absolutely. This was one of my favorite parts about this. So we had students from the Saginaw Chippewa Tribal College come together and their family members. We had alumni, Jonathan Reinhardt and his wife, Liz Reinhardt, who were GVSU alumni, but they're also important community members, and they brought people from their own longhouse to participate as well. And then we had faculty and staff and GVSU alumni. And so we had some students who took the train from Chicago to come for the day. We had another student who drove from up north with her grandmother to come for the day. And it was just this really beautiful space where it was multi-generational and it was across different kinds of communities and academic affiliations. We had students from Grand Rapids Community College also participate. And so to me, that's what represented a lot of the intention around the lodge, is that it should be, you know, integrating community into higher ed. And also it should be multi-generational. We should have our elders there to look after the young people. We should have the young people there to get to know each other and feel affirmed. And then also being able to learn through observation. Like Cam had said, many of us have never built a lodge before. And so people drove from all over Michigan to have this opportunity. And where it's really like backbreaking work to do this, we worked 12 hours each day nonstop. You know, we were just so happy the entire time because that's what it was supposed to feel like. And it felt like we were returning to our life ways.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the design and the balance of traditional craft and modern construction here, Andrea? Sort of how you adapted the design?
Yes, thank you for asking. So this lodge was made out of about 60 maple saplings, and we built this lodge a little later in the season. You're supposed to kind of build it around the solstice when like things are still kind of new. And so we got permission from the GVSU arborist who let us harvest on GVSU property. And so we drove pickup trucks and trailers and used saws and went out there and we put down tobacco. We had a prayer. We said miigwech, or thank you to Gitche Manitou for allowing us to have, you know, this, you know, sacred day. And the first day, the team just pulled the saplings and they used, you know, what we would call modern technology, draw knives, hand saws, things like that. And we actually had to use an auger to dig down the holes at the Sustainable Agricultural Project because the soil was just so compact. And this was a joke that we had made for the past couple of days, is that, you know, our ancestors never would have picked that space to build a lodge because they would have saw the dirt and said, nope, we can't build 3-foot holes to put maple saplings down there. And right. But so we had to use an auger, and it was a heavy duty auger. But this is kind of the complexity of doing indigenous work in higher ed, right? Is that this is a land that was provided for us, and we're going to do our best to do what we need to do to make this space. If that means using an auger or, you know, like using hand saws and like circular saws, we're going to get it done.
Right.
And then it was a lot of like, you know, just working together, where we had people who identified as men or masculine centered were engaging at their roles of holding, you know, the sapling, and then women and women identified people were tying the saplings together. And it was very much, it felt like exactly what it meant to feel like being an Indigenous person right now in 2022. You know, it wasn't about trying to keep things before contact, because, you know, that's not knowledge that we have full access to. And also, it doesn't really make sense for the time that we're living in. And also learning the practices of our ancestors today.
Cam, can you describe what the finished lodge looks like?
So Unfortunately, I was there the first day, but thankfully Andrea was able to send a picture to me of the finished lodge and everybody, you know, in front of it. And I mean, it's beautiful and it's huge too.
Andrea, about how big is it?
Yeah, I think it's about 48 by 16. And in the center are four poles that are the sacred colors of our medicine wheel. So black, red, white, and yellow. And right now, what we also have is we're building traditional gardens around it as well. So that way the students can have, you know, they can practice their gardening alongside being a part of the lodge. And so the next stage is trying to decide how we're going to wrap or dress the lodge. You know, traditionally we would dress it with like ribbons or flowers and also using birch bark or hide. We've gotten advice to boat shrink wrap it. And so we're trying to decide, are we going to use this plastic to boat shrink wrap it? Because in some ways that's more sustainable and it provides longevity for the saplings. Or are we going to take other kinds of more traditional approaches?
Is the thinking that a boat shrink wrap might make it sustainable in the sense that you don't have to rebuild it?
Yeah, I mean, all lodges have to be rebuilt in at least 4 years. Like, this is the other component, is that lodges are temporary. You know, part of these are community projects where you build them and rebuild them again and again and again. And so the boat shrink wrap helps delay how long it will take for us to rebuild it. And then also, you know, if we boat shrink wrap it, then the students can use it over the winter. And so because it's a little bit away from campus, it's about a half a mile away from campus, which is a good thing. We're trying to figure out what is the best technology and materials that allow students to use it in this kind of time period.
We need to take a quick break. More in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Cameron, I know that your interests lie toward foodways and indigenous gardening practices. Can you tell me a little bit about what the hope is that people will be able to practice at the lodge and sort of enter into their own practice and memories?
Yeah, what I'm hoping to do is to utilize the garden space and for us to be able to like get our hands on some heirloom seeds and be able to like grow like a Three Sisters garden, I think would be a beautiful addition to the lodge in the area.
Yeah. Three Sisters refers to sort of the foundational foods. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. So Three Sisters gardening is an indigenous practice that, well, basically it's companion gardening. So you grow the corn to a certain height, then you plant your beans. So the beans crawl up the stalk, but then you plant the squash last. And the squash, what it does is the big leaves cover the ground so that weeds don't grow. So there's like this interconnectedness in the growing of all three of these seeds, and they kind of like help each other in a way.
Yeah. Some schools I know have Native student community centers or, you know, other kind of, you know, traditional construction options. I guess I was wondering, Andrea and Cam, both of you, if that's something that you would like to see happen eventually at GVSU?
Yes, absolutely. My colleague, Lynn Bardwell, who works in the Office of Multicultural Affairs and Inclusion and Equity, this is one of the projects that she's been trying to encourage the university to invest in. Her and I, along with the members of the Native American Advisory Council, have talked about the importance of a student center for Native students on campus where, you know, they can visit with each other, they can bead, they can work on regalia, they can have study time, they can talk with elders. I would love for there to be an elder in residence program, which is something that, you know, one can find in like First Nations territories and like universities there, as a way to offer students more of that space where they can feel safe on campus, where they can pray and smudge if they need to, and as well as they can feel like they have opportunities to be with their community without being observed from like non-Native people.
Cam, there's so much that comes to mind about just what the academic experience must be like right now. I mean, we're just coming off pandemic, and some schools have been, you know, sort of, there are some schools where students have been gathering and learning together and being able to find community. But there's a lot of places where people have, you know, not really been gathering together. Can you say anything to us about just what you've observed in terms of the Native students who are at GVSU and when and how they're finding each other right now?
So that was like one of my primary concerns of like going to university is that like not having like a shared culture in our student community. Native people rely on gathering for like a lot of different things, like for ceremonies and for like ghost suppers, for example. And we really rely on getting together and being able to celebrate our culture. So individually, it was really hard to do that.
Andrea, I know that you're on sabbatical this year and that some of your time is going to be spent doing some research related to the lodge. Can you tell us a little bit about the project you have in mind?
Yeah, so Cam is going to serve as my research assistant for fall and winter, which I'm really excited about. And so what Cam and I are going to do is we're going to continue understanding, you know, what are the indigenous gardening and harvesting practices that we think would be suitable for that space. And so like Cam mentioned, a Three Sisters garden, we also want to build a medicine garden for our four sacred medicines as well. And so one of our goals this year will be to, you know, talk with community members about how to find access to these seeds or, you know, to find plant saplings that we can, you know, use and plant in the spring. I'd love to build a rock garden in the shape of a medicine wheel and bring in the Native students to participate in that. And then the other goal is to think about, you know, how to do this long term. So one of my goals is to find funding and also internal support from the university on how we can think about this, not just as a project for this year or for next year, but 5 to 10 years down the road, as well as, you know, forming more intentional relationships with community members and nearby tribal nations on how we can find their external support in terms of supporting students and knowing that they can have a presence in this space as well. I was just really, really grateful to see the community come together. And I was so grateful for those 20 people who, you know, brought food, who cooked, who spent, like I said, 12 hours each day building this lodge. One of them was a nursing mother, for example, with like her 3-month-old. And I was really grateful for my colleagues as well, who took the time to educate each other, to support me in departmental meetings or meetings with administrators to help communicate how important this lodge is. And so I just wanted to take that moment to really acknowledge that this was an effort that spanned both GVSU communities as well as Indigenous communities. You know, one of the things is that no community is monolithic or homogenous around our beliefs or our practices. But for the Indigenous community, when it comes to supporting students, our community always shows up.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes when you're ready for more listening at michiganradio.org. Today's podcast was produced by Ronia Cabansag. Other producers on our show are Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, Mercedes Mejia, and April Van Buren. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.